Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's the Sideshed Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, Kerry Warbis and Matthew Weir. I've just tried to do a funny start to the show and failed, so it's normal service for me. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good. One side of my face is all numb, but only because I've been to the dentist, but it'll wear off very quickly.
So you're going to be doing your John Hurt, you've been very kind, all through the show.
Yes. Peter, wasn't Pip a f***ing weirdo?
Please edit out all my horrible mouth noises, Peter.
Yeah, a bit like that. I'm good, though.
And Matthew?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm buried in exam madness at the school. And I made some kids sit an exam today while the Portugal game was happening. So you can imagine the furore with that.
Oh, dear.
Were you watching it on the sly?
I was on my laptop, yeah.
Ooh,
but they can't. They've got to take a test.
I was watching that at the dentist, actually. It was on a screen, you know, when they have it on the ceiling. Mm. Yeah, and the South Koreans were going nuts, weren't they?
I know. Oh, you're very lucky, good, though, Kerry. Like, I normally, I don't know if it'd be different at my dentist at the moment with the World Cup on, but normally it's like really, you know, those really breathy acoustic covers of like punk songs and Depeche Mode songs.
I like Nouvelle Vague.
Yeah, like some kind of loungy jazz version of, you know, Personal Jesus or Too Drunk to Fuck. And you're just there going, oh, please change the channel. This is bloody awful. You know, you're pulling four of my wisdom teeth out, mate. Actually, the guy that pulled my wisdom teeth out did it to AC/DC, to his credit.
Well, when South Korea scored the winner, I was pointing up at the screen and he was like, I cannot look at the screen. This is a vital moment, when he was like drilling my tooth. Bit silly of me, really.
Let's pop an ad in and then we can discuss exactly why Pip is worse than root canal surgery or having four of your wisdom teeth ripped out.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Am I being harsh? I thought the scenes with Pip and Stella, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, was it something approaching kind of human warmth between the two of them? Like plausible friendship?
Warmth from Stella.
Right.
I you're right. Yeah, they were getting along, weren't they? And it sounds like Pip is relying on her. I can't cope very well with how easily Pip feels like she's a failure and why she didn't just purchase something from Amazon, which I looked it up, it's £11.40 for a spider outfit. And, you know, she didn't want it to be flammable or sit at the bottom of the dressing up box. It wouldn't. A kid loves putting on that sort of nonsense, don't they?
Kerry, let's just do a little bit of a request. Script writers, save yourself some cash. Get Kerry to do the fact checking. Pay her, and then you know it's not going to come back to bite you on the ass down the line.
Well, I just thought it was a bit overblown, as usual with Pip. She just thinks, oh, I'm a failure. I can't cope. I know I'm supposed to cope on my own, but I'm not doing very well, am I? God. And that she did actually say, I know I'm more supported than a lot of other people.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you bloody are. You barely do anything. And to not be able to spend... she spent 20 quid in the end, didn't she? What does she spend money on, Pip?
She didn't spend 20 quid because Stella bought it for her. Under the premise that she's going to pass it on to her nephew.
Bobby.
Yeah. She's never met a toddler before, has she? It's going to be just as sort of like a gummy set of chocolatey rags by the time.
Well, I thought if Rosie's been wearing it, it'll be the size of a kingdom or something.
What, you think she's like a kind of a it's like a cobbler's last. She sort of stretched out the material.
Yeah, poor Bobby will just be sort of sitting in the middle of this vast swathe of spider's web, having no fun at all.
Well, it's better that than Bobby. Well, I mean, first of all, Stella went round there. I mean, there's a lot of predictions about who would Stella's love interest be. Would it be the daughter or the mother? And everyone's starting to lean towards it being Pip now.
Why is everyone so certain about this? I don't get it.
It is hilarious because there were people on Twitter sort of going, I think it's outrageous that just because some women are getting on with each other, people start imagining that they're having lesbian affairs. But loads of other Twitter people going, oh, it's just us fantasizing, get over yourselves. Yeah. You know, not as in sexually fantasizing, but just sort of extrapolating the tiniest bit of a clue and just going completely postal with it.
It's also the Archers. So any level, you know, you're allowed to do what you want because it's a sort of like a sandbox. It's a play place, isn't it? You're not expected to sort of hold the rules of real life or reality to it.
Pip did say I could kiss you, Stella, didn't she?
She did. She said I could kiss you. And she said, oh, steady on, it's only some crafty bits. But she took round a bottle of wine as well. And the next thing, you know, she's stuffing Pip's tights. So it could happen.
Way. And we don't know Stella's sexuality or anything, do we?
No, we don't. Yeah. We don't. I mean, the worst of Pip, and it really is the worst of, well, I don't want to lump all of, no, I'm going to lump all of Brookfield in with this, was that point, but particularly Pip, where she said of Rosie not getting the part of sheep. She said to Stella, to really want something and believe it should be yours, and then you can't have it. Like, that's just a horrible feeling. And then she ripped into the other kid, didn't she? She said, oh, she looked so smug getting the part of sheep. I was like, isn't the sheep? I think when I was doing the nativity, sheep was basically the bit you got if you couldn't act. You just hung around or you couldn't be trusted to remember your lines. Sheep three.
And also in a class of, you know, 30 or whatever it is nowadays, how can you have... you know, there's only a small core of major characters, isn't there, in the nativity. I was always the narrator.
You have got a very nice voice, Kerry.
Oh, what were you two? Were you in the nativity?
I was a sheep. Wait. I got the part that Rosie wanted, yeah. I might have been a king one year as well. But I definitely remember like a big kind of cotton wool affair. Going around me. Did you think it was a bit when Pip went, I was Mary, obviously, and Stella, obviously.
Yeah.
Does this mean that maybe Toby didn't knock her up?
Oh, is Fat Rosie the Immaculate Conceived Child?
Come on, God's got standards, Matthew. You wouldn't.
Peter, what were you in the Nativity?
Well, Kerry, I can't remember any roles before my award-winning. But that's actually genuinely true. I can't.
Oh.
So, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Like Pip said, it's not a barrel of laughs round here at the moment as well, didn't she?
Why was that, Kerry?
When was it ever a barrel of laughs?
Does that mean we're going Benwards if we're you know, looking at the barrel and the lack of laughs?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We've just fat-shamed a toddler. How brutal are we going to be about Ben and his lost dog?
Now,
you found it harrowing, didn't you, Kerry?
I did. It was hard listening. I think Joy was absolutely exactly what you would wish for someone to be like in that sort of situation where someone is really struggling and is in distress. Whereas David, he didn't know what to do or say or anything, did he?
Mm.
Or even really clock that this might be a proper episode of some kind, I think, until right towards the end when they were sitting in the hospital.
I thought that was well scripted, though, the David bit, the fact that he was just, you know, you have these ideas about your friends, your family, and then, you know, it would take a minute to kind of dismantle those preconceptions and sort of start to sort of go, oh my God, they're falling to pieces right in front of my eyes. That would be very difficult. Mm.
It's interesting though, because David, he took him to the shop, didn't he? He was like, come on then, chop chop, in you go, let's choose a pudding. So even at that point, he wasn't reading the signs of his own child that they're not functioning as they normally do. And one of the things that I noticed in the conversation Ben had with the tutor was that the tutor was picking up on changes in his behaviour. Mm. And that's one of the key things when you have any mental health training in a workplace or whatever about how to look out for colleagues and so on. One of the most fundamental things is any changes in behaviour and to pick up on that.
Have you had any veg this week, Kerry? Just looking after you, just wanting to make sure.
Yeah. I've lost it. Yeah. Peter. I ate a carrot.
Yeah. No.
But yeah, I think it's clear that David and Ruth aren't fully really in tune with their boy. And if they have some concerns, they don't know how to act upon them, do they?
It's also a perfect storm, isn't it? Because they're kind of, they've got plenty on their plates. They're well distracted. So it's not like, you know, and also he's just moved out of the house. So for the first time in his life, they don't have him there to kind of keep an eye on. When you were saying about Joy and how amazing she was, it reminded me, have you seen Rob Delaney's been doing a kind of tour of all the chat shows in America?
Yes, with his book about his losing his child.
Yeah, obviously talk about harrowing, that's like, you know, whole another level, not just losing a child, but the way it happened as well. Mm. But one of the things he's been saying in different ways, and when I say repeatedly, I don't mean that in a sort of critical way, but he's been saying again and again is how caring for someone who's lost a child or caring for someone who's, you know, going through some kind of enormous distress is a practical act. Mm. And just saying they're there or, you know, I feel for you or anything like that is absolutely useless. And you really saw that with Joy, didn't you, today? Mm. How she rolled up her sleeves, she got stuck in. Every time Ben pushed her away, she kind of gently reinserted herself in, you know, back into the conversation and kind of really, really, yeah, she was fantastic, as you said. Sorry, but I just.
No, it's good. It's good. I think, you know, don't be alarmed. Having said all of this, I think as a parent, if you see your child in such a state, it is distressing. And I can't really blame David for not knowing how to handle it.
Yeah, his diagnosis was, I thought he was just down in the dumps.
Pull your socks up. Yeah.
I think if you read a Victorian psychiatric journal, which is probably all they got available in Ambridge, you probably would say that. A little bit down in the dumps, opium and cocaine, off to war. Mm.
Yeah. It's an interesting one all round, isn't it? Because, you know, young male mental health is a big talking point. It has been over the past few years. And I do think young men have it difficult with the expectations of what being a man is all about, and especially with the pressures of his family, because he's seen as the golden boy who does no wrong. And was it Pip said really early on in the week, you'll be fine, Ben, you always are. Mm. That is what their perception of him as their son is. And you can be a bit blinded by thinking, you know, I'm a great parent, my kids are fabulous. And you lose sight of these cracks that start to happen if you're too wrapped up in your own stuff.
There's obviously a reason that statistically young men are suicide is one of the highest reasons that they're going to die, like ahead of all kinds of other health concerns. You know, it's not for nothing. But I mean, and also it is important. It was finally, they've taken on one of the really difficult topics, which is that, you know, I mean, abortions are so easy on women. It's the men who suffer. And I'm really glad that they've investigated that.
Yeah.
Sensitive topic. I mean, obviously I'm joking, but yeah, I did think that. I did think that today when he was, sorry, it was yesterday when he was with Chelsea, and I was like, yeah, okay, Chelsea has every right to turn around and go, okay, yeah, you can do one. She was very restrained.
It's not just the abortion though, is it? I know you're quite right, Peter. And I think Sarah for all to see on Twitter, she put something along those lines about, oh, they're making it about the man again, when actually Chelsea's coping supposedly, apparently, really well with this, and said she's just cracking on and seeking other distractions and things to focus on.
Mm. Kerry, talking of young men who exhibiting sort of strange signs, Matthew's been quiet for about 7 minutes. Maybe we should check in on him.
I think it's our fault.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Matthew, you're right. Is there anything you want to tell us about?
No, I'm okay. I was just thinking, actually, someone who I went to school with called Gemma did a really good thing called the Man Down program, where she interviewed quite prominent people in the music industry about how they coped with like mental fatigue and stress and mental illness. And it, yeah, you can find them on Instagram, Man Down program. And I think it's got, I think they actually ended up bringing out a documentary about it that was screened somewhere. I'll do a little bit more research and big it up, but you can find that on Instagram.
Yeah.
Very good. I know they interviewed Jeff Barrow from Portishead. I think they got the guy from Idols on there as well, I think. Pretty good, yeah. So anyone, yeah, any, no, I was just thinking, anyone listening who's feeling that way, you know, that's, I mean, that's the thing as well. I saw that, the Rob Delaney stuff, and he said sometimes you just need someone to come around and do your laundry and cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're just sat there in a fog, aren't you?
This is it, being practical, factual. I was going to say normal, but that's the wrong word to use in this situation. But I can remember I had panic attacks for a period of my life, and then they passed. It was a long time ago. But the thing that most helped was when someone who was with me was absolutely normal and just talked about very matter-of-fact things. It was almost grounding. I don't know if either of had panic attacks. And I know this isn't panic attacks. It's something much, much bigger, isn't it?
I used to get them like A-levels time. I got really, really stressed out and had no concept what was happening. And the first time I had a massive one was in psychology class of all places, you know, so it was, and I just had to pick my stuff up and leave. And my lecturer at the time, she immediately clocked what was happening. I was like, no, it's okay. Just go. And yeah, that was like a good.
They're quite scary, aren't they? Like you sort of think you're going to die. You think you're going mad. Like, yeah, it's hard to explain it.
Nobody can tell you that it's not happening to you because it is very real at that time. Mm. But I spoke to quite a lot of people who just opened up and were like, yeah, I've had those for ages. And I was just I was just breezing along through life. And other than that, I mean, just to lower the tone a bit, I'm a little bit annoyed because I've gone too early 2 weeks in a row with gags, because 3 weeks ago when Peter wasn't here, I said, hopefully one day Leonard will paint the hen house.
Leonard
and call him Leonard Cohen. Yeah. And last week I said Ben had post-traumatic best disorder, and this week he actually got it.
Are you actually on the script writing team, Matthew?
I wish I was. What would I have lifted out of this week's if I was on the script writing team?
You can do it by days, can't you? Sunday, Sunday, today.
Well, actually, just for a second, yeah. Hmm. Well, how do you feel how Jazza handled Ben at the door? I mean, 7:15 at night is not late, is it?
Nope. I didn't like that. I thought, let Chelsea decide who she wants to see and doesn't want to see. And I get he's trying to be protective of Chelsea because of what she's been through, but I thought it was very OTT. And Ben was perfectly fine at that point, wasn't he? Just, hello, I've come to see Chelsea. I didn't like how Jazza did that. There are lots of things that I don't like that Jazza does, to be honest. And Tracy might be marrying him by the look of things now.
It was just one of those situations where, and I know I say this a lot, I didn't catch up with the Archers until today. Mm. And I thought the reaction to what was happening to how Jazza treated Ben, I thought something really extreme had happened, like Jazza had almost threatened him. So I did feel that people took it a little harshly, but I think I was expecting worse. And then I heard it and I was like, okay, it's not that bad. He's just being a little bit overprotective.
Mm. Yeah, but I think I felt for Ben though, like he's turned up. Yeah, I don't know. Ben isn't evil, is he? You know, just.
But I think everyone was. I mean, I got to sympathise with Chelsea as well. No one wants to see anyone Spotify Wrapped, for f**k's sake. Why is he coming around talking about playlists?
That was strange, wasn't it? Have you ever listened to an album and picked songs and made a playlist?
That was weird, wasn't it? Yeah, which I guess was the point of the point of the scene. I mean, my problem with the whole thing is that. So when Jim had his very traumatic experience, I was fully there to, you know, listen to the pain he was going through and sympathise. But because it's Jim and I like Jim and I've enjoyed Jim's company relentlessly, and, you know, I think it's like I said with Helen, no matter how traumatic what Helen went through was, I could never really be anything but like, come on, Rob, just get away, take the kid. Because I always just found Helen so annoying because it is a fake show. And I'm afraid I'm the same way with Ben. I found him so relentlessly annoying. So when he turned up at the door, all I'm like is, oh, God, Ben. Like, oh, God, we're going to have 10 or 20 minutes of Ben today. And then he's in the room with Chelsea. So when he finally broke down and had the scene and Joy and David really acted their socks off. And, you know, like I was really invested in Joy's reaction. But I was just like, yeah, oh, God, more Ben, more bloody Ben, because we've had so much of him. So sorry to be a curmudgeon. I know everyone's heard me say this 100 times, but I just couldn't get worked up. So with the Jazza thing, listening to you talking now, so this is the point about Jazza, listening to you talking to now, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe Jazza was a bit heavy-handed. Whereas actually, when I was listening to it, it's like Jazza was like my voice in the show, like, piss off, Ben, get away.
Yeah. I mean, there is no better way to get rid of someone than just saying, I'm going to have a bath. They've got to leave at that point, haven't they? Unless they're going to sit and watch you in the bath and continue chatting, you've got to go.
Why do you think he did go?
That weird bit where he said, I don't know, you might have some idea. You know about hair, shampoo, conditioner. And then I thought he was going to say, she's worth it. But I think he said, she deserves it, was what she said. I was like, the scriptwriter must have been itching to put that in.
Didn't Ben just want her to say, you're a good man, there, yeah, you've done nothing wrong, and to sort of salve some of these kind of senses of inadequacy and underperformance that he's got?
Yes, definitely. That's why I asked, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Which is why what he was saying about Bess at the end, wasn't it? How he feels he's letting everybody down, doesn't he?
That was a bit on the nose. The writing there, you know, like Bess as the avatar for all of his other concerns.
Yeah, it was quite grim, wasn't it? I'm looking forward to the Christmas Carol Chronicle rap battle wedding where Jill is doing her Christmas Chronicle about twee Christmases and David was saying, well, they weren't all that. They weren't all that. And I can remember some really terrible ones. And I'm going to write my own version, actually. Yeah.
This is a weird week because this is, again, I liked David's sort of decision to cook the meal. I liked David all week, actually. A sentence I never thought I would say. But wasn't it quite likeable how he was like, well, I'll do it.
About bloody time, isn't it, as well?
Very true. But, you know, I know what you're saying.
It's good that he's doing it, definitely. Good, well done. You are cooking a Christmas dinner. But they have been married how long? And
30 plus years. There was that point where Joy, when going back to the Ben scene earlier, Joy said to David at the end of tonight's episode, did you get through to Ruth? I thought he was going to be like, no, I've been trying for about 35 years, Joy. hasn't really happened.
And they were joking that, oh, are you going to make spag bol or cheesy beans on toast? So he's obviously, his repertoire is very limited.
Oh, that sounds quite nice to me.
My dad had that one year. He forgot to defrost the turkey and he ended up having to eat, him and his partner had sausage and mash because he forgot to take the turkey out of the freezer before going on a shift. But David went hunting around for Jill's cookbook, didn't he? But he ended up with Jill and Leonard's self-penned erotica, 50 Shades of Sprout.
Cheesy sprout sounds quite nice to me.
Yeah, sprouts with bacon. I don't know. I mean, I cooked some here a couple of years ago for people who'd never had traditional Christmas dinner. And one vegetarian at the table, so they had to have the sprouts without bacon. And they were just like, don't like these at all. And everyone else at the table was like, because you're not eating the bacon, that's why.
I think something will happen, won't it, where he can't do it or Jill will come in and save it or something. This is all leading up. Christmas is going to be wild. I think Ben will top himself.
Or he just doesn't understand. Like he's meant to be, I don't know, he'll accidentally cook Bess or something, won't he? It'll be a bloody disaster.
And then Tracy and Jazza will get married during the Carol concert chronicle thing, won't they?
How to do it for free. Just sort of like, you know, dovetail it onto another proceeding.
Yeah, turn up in the barn where there's already a do going on.
Or just do it in one of the warm banks.
Yes. the pub.
Of which there were a million there. And then like all of the horror bins piled in tonight, didn't they?
Mm.
Or not tonight, was it? I don't know what night it was.
Oh, the other night, yeah. They also, one was doing the homework, one was doing manicures.
Yeah, Chelsea was like doing everyone's hair and nails and everything like this. And then Bert was sat downstairs like demanding waiter service despite not buying any drinks.
Do you think Jolene would be quite so dictatorial?
Probably not, but it's an image on a stick, isn't it? That's why they've got her doing that.
Yeah, I guess.
Because they have to set her. They have to set her against Fallon being like, "Hey, man, come in. We're just gonna chill in this choir," and like, and then Jolene's got. I mean, I tell you what, choir singing. I don't mind it. I remember years ago I was in Bristol and it was before I left England and I just couldn't get into the Christmas spirit. And then one time I was walking through St. Nicholas Market and there was a bunch of choir singers and it was about 2 days out from Christmas. And like, it just hit me. But that choir singing they were doing tonight was like nails on a blackboard to me. Did not enjoy it.
They didn't half whiz that up quick, didn't they? That they were all singing. There seemed to be about 50 of them singing. Where have they come from?
Also, Jolene's level of direction seemed pretty full on for someone for you know a group that's only been there. Sopranos. Do I need to seat you with someone else? You know, mezzo sopranos. Can we lift you know some altissimo? You know, it's all a bit over the top.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. What do you think about? Slightly before leaving the choir thing, but Jill. Dissing Jolene and saying, "Yeah, you're all right, but I'd rather spend time with Leonard."
That's just it's keeping it's continuity, isn't it? She's an absolute cow.
Yes.
So yeah, more Jill being Jill.
Mm. What I was going to say is about Mick and Joy, and the choir off. What do you think about him having said he loves Joy?
It's out there now, isn't it? I mean, there was a bit of an awkward moment earlier where it was. They were doing the dishes and they had a quiet moment and that awkward silence. And then she said, "Oh, I'm going to leave these to soak." And there was another moment where it felt like they were going to kiss. And then the chicken beeped, which is always awkward.
I think they did snog. And then the beeping saved them, didn't they? Which is weird. Why would you want... Joy seemed to be relieved that the beeping had happened.
Yeah. Well, she said, I don't want it to dry out. I presume she was talking about the chicken.
Oh,
Matt. we were quite conscientious for a long time this week. Come on.
No, that was a good one. Vaginal dryness.
Yeah, I know. So we all have our roles, right? You know, Matthew's just done his, obviously. Kerry does extreme detail and I go for unnecessary forensic scripting thoughts, right? Mick, they can't have invested getting Mick into the village for it not to be a relationship that lasts. It doesn't make any sense. So I think it's going to be a way. I think Joy's reluctance to say I love you is all tied into this Roxanne, whatever her name is.
Rochelle. Well,
yeah.
That's what she's going to do at the chronic Christmas, isn't it? She's going to, I think she's penned something called The Riddle of Rochelle. She's just going to come on stage and make up a load of stuff with your...
Oh, yeah. She's written something, hasn't she? I forgot about that.
I thought Mick's accent was a bit all over the place. And then I nearly tried to make my friend Nick into a Geordie correspondent and get him to listen to it. But did you think he's an actual Geordie or a Macam or...
Ooh, Mick, I don't think he's either of those things, is he?
No, he's not a Geordie, I don't think.
He's from the Northeast, isn't he? Was supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think he's like somewhere in the outliers of Greater Manchester, isn't he?
Oh, okay. I was getting strong northeastern vibes from his accent, but that's my point. Maybe
I thought he was kind of like heading across the Pennines, somewhere between Manchester and Yorkshire. I thought, but
oh, okay. I was getting more easterly, but I couldn't really peg him.
Do you think when he sings the Eagles, he does it with a an accent. Teagles. They're called.
Well, I'm not a Mick fan so far.
Are you at a point where you're able to walk back your fear that he might be like a kind of a almost a Titchener or a domestic violence kind of character.
I'd forgotten I said that. Well, it hasn't occurred to me again, so I guess I must be completely relaxed about it now. But it did. I did feel very worried about it. I wasn't alone. Like when he,
yeah, because his temper was showing, wasn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, it was damaged pride, wasn't it, after the fact that Joy had opened up to Lee about how he'd bared all.
I mean, I guess that makes sense that he would be upset.
And you can hear that Joy and him are progressing, aren't they? He's round there for tea. She cooked a roast dinner. They wanted to spend time together in the choir. Mm. They thought it would be nice. So they're spending a lot more time together and a snogging. And he said he loves her.
Well, he gets a very different version of Joy, doesn't he? Like, you look at the version of Joy that we remember from getting a kit off to sort out, you know, to save Rob. Not Rob, sorry.
Rob obsessed tonight. Yeah.
Well, bring him back. It would be quite fun to have him back. But, the Joy we love, the Joy we've grown to know, you know, playing with the kids and being a fun neighbour. And Mick gets a very different version. She's quite stern with him. She's quite sort of schoolmarmish every now and again.
Mm. Not at the outset, though. I mean, that was the whole thing, wasn't it? They were having great crack in the pub to the point where Pat thought she was there to rescue Joy, and Joy was like, "No, you can f- off now, Pat."
Yeah, his terrible jokes. She was like, she wanted a bit of Mick at that point. Yeah.
This week, she had been quite harsh with him.
I mean, it's good for her to be wary and do things in her own time, but is this some sort of germ of a reason why she's reticent? What will it be?
She's heard his band.
Are you looking forward to the Christmas concert, lads?
Only if Mick's solo is... I think there's going to... Do you think they're all just going to come together in the end and everything's going to be fine?
Of course, yeah. I heard Anthony...
You're eating, Kerry.
No, it's my cheek is...
Oh, sorry.
Why are you so horrible, Matthew? Yes. Leave me alone.
Sorry, I feel bad now.
No, it's because half the inside of my mouth is still numb. I'm sorry.
For the record, I'm never, ever going to miss an opportunity to do an elephant man impersonation. Ever.
I am not an animal.
I hope we don't end up on some really obscure Reddit post with people complaining that we were mocking John Merrick.
Oi, Matthew.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I heard Andonice Anthony on a Radio 4 thing this afternoon, and part of me, my heart sang to hear him in another thing, but I felt sad at the same time that he wasn't in the Archers anymore. Mm.
Well, I mean, talking of someone who was good when someone else was having a panic attack, Russ with Elizabeth when they were in Underwoods.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah, that got. Well, I think one of us mentioned it, but that got conveniently forgotten, didn't it? When Elizabeth was by a lot of people on Twitter, and Elizabeth, when she was like, "Well, I'm quite glad he's gone." It's like, just a second, you were leaning on him quite heavily when everyone else had forgotten about you. So bring back Russ. Bring back Rob. Bring back Russ.
The three R's. Who's the third R that we'll bring back? Well, that's one for the ages.
Yeah. Well, Rex came back this week, so they've done something more.
Rex.
He was lovely, wasn't he? Mm,
nice to hear from you.
I think Rex is bloody great, honestly. He lives on a boat. He's got a fairy-like reindeer.
He's going to end up buying £20 costumes for Rosie, isn't he?
Oh, I bloody hope not. Please, please, please don't ruin Rex with Pip or anything.
Him and Stella. Although, is the age, how does the age work out for those two?
Not sure. Not sure.
I think it's about a decade, I think.
But he, you know, he tried to get Ben to go fishing, didn't he? And is properly concerned. He did have to be nudged slightly, but he wasn't aware.
Yeah, I mean, is he as blind to the signs as David, though? Because he said to Pip, he enjoyed fishing last time we did it. And my memory was just Ben sat there going, I haven't caught anything. Everything's terrible and I'm a coward. It's like, that's enjoying it. And then crushed a beer can.
On the cans.
He had a great time.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But anyway, big up Rex. Love him. And Stella. I absolutely adore her.
Just to quickly round up the Christmas choir wedding-y thing. Mm. If they did a year, because we always slag off the Christmas entertainment, right? It's almost, you know, part of being an Archers fan is to absolutely loathe their attempts at sort of doing a, you know, one of Linda's plays or whatever. If one year they didn't do it and they just carried on as normal through the festive season, they're just like, oh, look, it's Christmas, we're doing Christmassy stuff, and then, you know, here comes 2023, would you really care? I mean, do you think we'd actually be like, oh, you know?
I definitely wouldn't miss it at all. No. The best thing that they can be doing out of any of those shows is a carol concert, so hopefully that's all right. But what I would really prefer is to visit each of the households having their Christmases.
Oh, like your Marley's Ghost?
Yeah, just to hear them round the dinner table, on the sofa in front of the TV, whatever they're doing. I'd rather hear like little snatched conversations passing around the quality street, a few moments of...
Well, Jill is Scrooge, Ben is Tiny Tim. Jim is the one of, you know, he's the one of the good ghosts.
Is Bess the turkey? Yeah, that's
Bess,
what I would like.
Bess, you know, can like be the hearing... turkey.
Like, imagine, like, the different Christmases, how different... It would be really fascinating. Like, imagine Vince and Beth at their house. It'd be bloody awful, I bet, about who's got the biggest present and stuff. And you know, good old Brad and Chelsea saying, we don't want presents. And, you know, having a chicken is fine. And Jazz is going to get them cheap pork. And I didn't understand why Tracy was going to get the veg now and freeze it, really.
Because that's what Delia told her to do.
But what does she mean?
I think she means... I hope she didn't mean just buy frozen veg, which if she did mean it, that's fine. But I thought she meant that she would buy fresh veg, cook it, and then freeze it, and then just have it ready to go on the day.
Like, is that a thing?
If you... Delia doesn't fucking do it, does she? She just tells other people to do it. I mean, Delia's too busy, like... rolling around the pitch on Carrow Road. She doesn't know what's going on.
I would love to have spent Christmas with Delia.
Yes, be having you.
Who would have ever imagined that Delia Smith was that much fun? Imagine
that was great,
her
house. Wasn't it?
Bloody hell, you know, all the brandy sloshing around.
I reckon that's there's no dinner bell at Christmas Day. She just mics herself up and screams that from the East Wing. Where are you?
Is there a dinner bell at your house?
There isn't. There's a gong.
I hope there is, but there isn't, is there?
No, there isn't. It's normally me just saying dinner's ready and then everyone just takes 5 hours to come to the table. Maybe because my cooking's like David's, I don't know.
But the present thing, you know, I liked that. They don't need presents, and when the kids are grown up, it's all fine, isn't it? We're just doing a secret Santa between me, my two kids and my mother, just the four of us. We pulled the names out of a hat at the restaurant on my mum's birthday, and we're each just spending 40 quid on one of the other four.
That sounds ideal.
That's it.
I'm having, not problems, but I've accidentally spoilt Cyrus. So I'm desperately trying to teach him that Lego doesn't just fall from the sky constantly, because basically I've been buying it for myself. He now thinks that Lego just, you know, every day is a new Lego set day. Not quite, but, you know, almost.
Are you getting him some Christmas Lego then?
Yeah.
It is for you, isn't it? That response says everything.
Are you getting you some Christmas Lego, Peter?
No, I'll get some. I don't think there's any need. There'll be plenty of Legos sloshing around.
What theme is the Lego that he likes?
Well, my son wants to be a ninja. So it's all Ninjago. Which I don't necessarily approve of, but I'm not going to be one of those parents that tries to convince my child he likes something, you know, likes something else.
I don't know what a Ninjago is.
There's certain things in life, Kerry. If you don't know, you're better off as you are. I'll just carry on as you are. Should we chuck an advert in and then?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A if anyone wants to get rid of the ads, go to patreon.com/thesidershed. Any help, very gratefully received. And Kerry, if people want to chat to us on Twitter, where do they go?
At the Sidershed Pod. We're still on Twitter. The whole thing about Twitter disappearing seems to have calmed down a little bit, although I did archive my entire Twitter history the other day, just in case.
My God.
I did. Listen, it was offered as a thing, and I thought, I'm hitting that.
Well, Kerry, I'll put it on a gold disc, like one of the ones they sent to space, and we can post it to the Smithsonian.
Yeah, I'm going to bury it in a time capsule. Exactly, yeah.
Haven't you already got a bunch of gold discs that you stole off like a 1970s Radio 1 DJ?
Yeah, Kim Friel and the Coconuts.
Ah, yes.
Oh, God, yeah, don't get me in trouble with them again. Keep going, Kerry.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. It's growing still there on Twitter. 2,743 followers, and everyone is bloody marvellous there. We haven't got any new reviews, unfortunately, this week. So please do get your digits out and send us some words on the old, is it Apple? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. All the instructions are on the podcast description. For all of the podcasts for the last however many tens of weeks. So if that you do want nice. A blow-by-blow description on how to do it, just click on the link there and you should be fine. So Matthew, Facebook, Instagram, what's the deal?
Okay, we've got a Facebook group called the Sidershed Podcast, and we've got an Instagram, which is the same as our Twitter handle, at the Sidershed Pod. We have 579 followers on the Instagram now, so... And we're about to make our 80th post, and we got all up in the mentions with Joshua Riley, who plays Paul, because I was sharing the fact that I have an expansive Diana Ross collection that was passed down from my mum as well.
Aww. And
he was all over that. What was I going to say? Yeah, Christine McVie as well from Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac often get a mention on this podcast for reasons Fleetwood Mac probably wouldn't like, but we paid tribute to her in our own little way, didn't we, on the Instagram.
Are you going to quote your mum's WhatsApp message, Matthew?
My mum was the one that broke the news to me that Christine McVie died, and I said that, like, God, that's terrible, and she said, I hope she didn't hear that I beat you up to Tango in the Night.
I don't often laugh out loud, but I was, yeah, rolling around. That's quality.
I'm not sure if my mum was suggesting that that's what finished her off, that she finally like heard the podcast and thought. I saw a very good description today of the fact that Christine McVie basically, you know, wrote "You Make Loving Fun" with her new husband, which then became a massive hit. And then her old husband was forced to play it every night on stage.
Yeah.
They said someone, so it's basically the equivalent of going up on stage and saying, well, this next song's about a guy who can really lay pipe, unlike that bloke over there who's about to play bass on it.
Lay pipe.
I would have thought if your mum was going to beat you to any song, The Chain would have given her a better rhythm to kind of really, you know.
And it's got that tease bit at the beginning where there's a total change and it gives you a chance to run.
Yeah.
And then the Formula One music kicks in, and we had a large oval flower bed at the end of our garden, and I used to figure out if I could hit a certain pace and anticipate which direction they were running in, I could keep avoiding them. And then one day my dad just leapfrogged over the flower bed and caught me.
God, what a world you lived in.
I have to state it wasn't violent, I'm just joking. We were just messing around. Except if Fleetwood Mac was playing, but the speakers couldn't reach to the garden at that time.
Yeah, the plans for Basingstoke, 19th of December, are non-existent, aren't they?
Well, at this point, yeah. But as you know, like I'm flying into Bristol on the 17th, but the next day is the World Cup final.
Yeah.
Which could end up being England-Brazil.
Brazil just lost, but that probably didn't. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference, does it?
No. Yeah, because I received a WhatsApp as we were recording this saying, if I scream, what if Brazil score, you have to edit it out. And I was like, it doesn't seem to have been a problem.
No. Will you watch the England game on Sunday, lads?
When the Euros happened, have I said this on air? When the Euros happened, I was really conflicted about England winning because I didn't want to give the Tories any good news. I didn't want the Tories to get like a World Cup, sorry, a Euro bounce or a World Cup bounce. Hmm. So the further England go in, the more nervous I'll get because I don't want Rishi in his.
I think enough people have wised up now.
You think I can just support England now without worrying?
You can, yeah. They just lost a by-election, didn't they? Cheshire.
So I would like to, because I really, really like the England team. I mean, the men playing for the England team.
Yeah.
Harry Maguire. I really, really like, and Harry Kane. Apart from the two Harrys, I really like the England team. Even Mason Mount, I quite like.
Yeah, I had a weird vision today that it'll end up England Brazil in the final, and it'll be like 1-1, and in some deep in injury time, Mason Mount will score a late winner for England.
He'll be like Jeff Hurst, being absolute shite all the way through to the final,
despite being quite average. Yeah.
Well, all your predictions in the Archers come true, so maybe that one will as well.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's yet to be seen, isn't it? I don't want to drag us back into the Archers that much, but everyone's really running with the Vince is the buyer of the land now, which I thought a few weeks ago he might be.
Well, I will be back in love with Vince if he's the one buying it. That's a class move. That's some quality shithousery.
Yes.
Yeah, because he hasn't been in his right mind recently. And one of the things I forgot to mention last week was one of his most unreasonable demands was that David buy a round in the pub. He obviously doesn't know this man at all, does he? He doesn't pay for his own bloody drink.
So are you going to watch it in the pub, Kerry, talking of buying a round?
Oh, I'll be on my sofa
here. It's a good place to be. Yeah. I can't watch it at home because my darling little boy does not think, he doesn't rate the England team as much as he rates Ryder and his crew on Paw Patrol. So, I'm going to have to find a way of watching.
Can he have some sort of headphones and a tablet?
Yeah, I need to get it worked out.
Yeah.
Peter, I'm going to send you a little game that I play with the very young kids called World Pup Soccer, and it's a penalty shootout with dogs. I think you'll enjoy it.
This is going to be my perfect kind of gateway drug to get Cyrus involved. Perfect.
Does it involve you and a puppet, Matthew?
It doesn't. It's pups, as in like they're little dogs, unfortunately. I wish. I mean, maybe one day I was thinking of doing like some Ambridge Vox pops on our Instagram with the different puppets talking.
What's that, Mr. Weir? guys, have a lovely week. Do you think we trod the right line between sincerity and our normal nonsense?
100%.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I think we were quite tame this week.
Yeah, well, it's a tricky subject, and I wanted to, you wanted to be respectful, but it's also, it's been a bit of a mad couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, my anaesthetic's worn off.
We'll be the judge of that, Kerry.
My anaesthetic's worn off, guys.
Yeah.
There was a big old slurp about 2 minutes ago, I have to say.
I'm sorry.
But actually, it probably makes it quite easy because whoever edits it has got an excuse to leave all that stuff in. It's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
See everyone. Bye.